Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt.
Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Coming to you live from my new house, this is Ashad and Matt from his own house. Hello, everyone. The weather outside is beautiful. We have sunny weather for the rest of the week here in Southern California. But the same can't be said for other parts of the world, and especially the U.S. Today we'll be talking about natural disasters. I was trying to be a news anchor. I don't know if I did a good job. Matt, if I was a news anchor on KTLA5 or CNN, would you or would you not watch the news?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, pal, I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't watch the news. I make the news, okay? And your voice, as stunning as it was, it's not going to get me to watch the news.
All right, and I guess Matt's been watching a little bit too much drama and gang movies. I don't know what he's been watching, actually, but it sounds
I was trying to be like the kind of gangster guy, but less excited. I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't seem very excited. You need to perk up a little bit.
Of course. I'm excited to have you back. It's great.
I'm excited to be back. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I hope my fans haven't missed me too much. I did see some posters outside my new house with, you know, "We want you back. Ashad forever. You can't have Manxiety without the A." You know, shit like that.
We put the M and A in Manxiety, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes, we do.
Also, the sign saying "We want you back" were the old owners, not you. Sorry.
Dude, that makes so much sense. Yeah, because they've been
read a room.
Trashing my house. I was like, why would they trash the house if they want me back? No, I'm just kidding. No one's trashed my house, and there were no
also,
signs.
Also, whoever threw eggs at it, they probably misguided anchor there. You know, I don't think that they really
oh, for sure. You know, for a second when I looked out the window at the person throwing them, I thought I saw you, but then I was like, oh, maybe I haven't talked to him in a while. I miss him, so now I'm seeing him in places, but...
You know, now you're kind of saying, oh, white people look alike, man, and you know, I can't stand for that kind of talk.
That's kind of racist. Why do you think they were white when they were egging my house?
She said they look like me.
That doesn't mean they were white. Why are you being so racist, Matt? People can look like you because of your hairstyle, because of your beard style. Maybe you're tall. Maybe they were tall. Did you ever think of maybe they drove the same car as you?
So you didn't say handsome once in that description. I don't understand how they could look like me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, it was deliberately left out. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get back to the topic of the day. I think that's enough catching up on me being back. So, if any of you have been watching the news, which I'm sure most of you at least have some sort of avenue into the news, Texas has had some of the coldest weather in like, what, 40 years, 30 years, something like that. I saw videos of pipes bursting in homes because of the cold. Their whole power grid was down in parts of the state. And it was really bad. And, you know, I was thinking, Texas, you know, we're having more and more of these natural disasters these days, right? These things that are out of our control, right? Because of... Not because of, but these things that sort of happen naturally, or so we think naturally. We know that the occurrence of more and more natural disasters is due to global warming. At least the scientific community knows. I don't know if there's people out there that don't believe in that stuff, but the scientific community has proven that due to our global warming, more and more natural disasters are occurring. We had the fires in Australia last year, right around this time, right? Actually, a little bit before this time. We had the fires in California right after, right? And then now we've had, you know, there have been floods, there have been other stuff that have happened, but now Texas and most of the Midwest was in some of the coldest weather they've seen. So these things happen, and you know that it can cause a lot of anxiety. Like, if you're there, obviously you're probably feeling very scared, very anxious, right? So some people can't get food, some people can't get water, they have no power, it's very cold, you know, they can't stay warm. But if you're not there, you know, and you're living somewhere else, maybe you have family there, right? And maybe you don't know how they're doing because you don't have power. So there's a lot of things that happen with natural disasters that can make people that aren't there feel very anxious, but very worried as well. And so how do you deal with that? So we can talk a little bit about that and see where it gets us. So Matt, if you ran out of power, feels very cold, what would you be doing right now?
You know, it's a pretty scary thing to happen when you're not prepared for it. If you are going to go out into the woods and you're going to go camping, right? You know, you bring things to make a fire, you bring a really comfortable sleeping bag, maybe it's rated for the cold level that you're going to go into. All those kinds of things, right? Like, we've been camping a bunch of times, and that's what we have to do to prepare for it. But if I just stripped away power and water and things in your house right now where you're at, you probably wouldn't be prepared for it, right? A lot of people maybe don't know. Maybe you have a flashlight in case the power goes out, or you have candles, but you don't know where they are, right? You just think, oh, it's somewhere in the room, or it's somewhere in that drawer, or maybe I used it 3 years ago when I had to check something outside. So, you know, it kind of comes down to like being prepared for different things, but it's hard because you don't want to be so prepared for everything that your anxiety is always on edge about it. These types of disasters, while they do happen more frequently now due to global warming and other like climate change consequences, it's still something that we can kind of prepare for a little bit, but you have to realize that at any moment, things like this may happen, well, seasonally for a lot of them. However, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because I have friends out there. I have coworkers out there, and I've checked in on them and made sure that they're okay. A lot of them have power now, but they didn't have power for like a day or two. They weren't hit in some of the areas where they still don't have power. So they're fortunate in that way. However, it's scary because, you know, a few weeks ago I bought a new computer. And I turn it on, and I guess I had like the heater in my room going on, and the new computer is more powerful, right? And it short-circuited the fuse. So the power in my room just goes out in the middle of a game. Like, oh, okay, everything's dark now. I grab my phone, you know, put the flashlight on, open my door, the power in the rest of the house is on. I go, okay, I blew a fuse, not a big deal. Go outside, fix the fuse box, we're good to go, right? Made sure to turn everything off and then turn it back on. My computer's good, we're all good. But in that little event, I panicked for that half a second, maybe a couple seconds, saying, okay, power's off, what's going on, right? I thought I, like, accidentally turned off the lights or something, like, with Alexa. And, you know, oh, and now she's talking in the background, of course. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to say the name. Alexa, stop.
Alexa, order a million gajillion trillion. I don't know what it's saying. I can't even order something if it's talking.
She was just saying if you say... Stop.
Can I order something now?
I don't have speakers on. She was just saying if you say my name, then I'm going to respond, basically. Which is, gotcha. Side note, even though we're talking about a serious topic, there was like some commercial where they said that. It was like a Tide commercial, I think, where it was like,
mind activated.
Like name order Tide Pods or something, and apparently millions of homes were putting in orders for it, which is really smart, although also kind of like shady if they knew that was going to happen, but it's really funny.
Sorry, continue.
So yeah, you know, like my power went off for a little bit, turned it back on, not a big deal, right? If it had gone off for like the whole house, I would have been more worried, right? And if I looked outside and everybody's houses were off, I'd have been really worried, because then, you know, now we have like a grid problem. We've had some issues like that in the past in our neighborhood where they will turn off the power because they're going to like update the line somewhere. And they'll say, okay, your power is going to be off between like 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. So make sure you check your fridge in the middle of the night and make sure that it comes back on or whatever, right? Because you don't want your food to spoil and everything else. So it's, right. You know, it's really scary, and it reminds us how much we rely on like the power, like the things that we always think will work to be there, right? When we flip the light switch on, we expect the lights to come on. And when we flip, you know, when we turn the oven on, we expect there to be heat and the oven to come on, and et cetera. So it is, or the water, right? If you turn the handle, you expect water, right? And when that doesn't happen, it can be kind of scary. So, you know, definitely, if you have the, obviously we're still going through COVID, right? We're in the middle of a pandemic, but if you have the means to support and to donate, there are a lot of relief funds for Texas. There's a lot of relief funds for other states, you know, maybe drop them some money and hopefully help people get food and water is really what they need, right? That's what you need to survive. Hopefully they already have blankets and things to stay warm, but if you don't have power and you can't make food and you don't have water, that's pretty scary. It's a pretty scary ordeal.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard things are getting better now. Most of the bad has passed, but there's still a lot of people that are struggling, but you know, it's not as cold and as bad. But no, I agree. I mean, those are all very, very valid points. I think, you know, when I have some friends out there too, and when all of it started happening, I, you know, reached out, you know, made sure that they were doing okay. If they weren't, you know, I would have offered to help if I could and send them something. But, you know, as people that aren't going through it, that's all you can do, right? We can offer our help. We can check in with them or try to check in, right? And we can offer our help. And I went through some emergency preparedness classes. Like, I'm CERT certified, or like, I guess I'm part of CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Team. And one of the things that you learn in any of these emergency things, programs, is, you know, always having a plan. Have a plan for everything, right? Especially if you live in an area that, and sort of anywhere you live, natural disasters can happen. Right. And it just depends on what kind of natural disaster it is. So here in Southern California, I think the biggest sort of threat we have, or the biggest natural disaster that can happen, is an earthquake. So most people will, you know, plan for an earthquake, or we hope would plan for an earthquake. You know, if you live in, let's say, I don't know, Florida, hurricanes, right? Hurricanes are probably some of the worst natural disasters that can happen there. So people prepare for hurricanes over there. But when you live in a place that, you know, having so much cold isn't normal, like Texas, and then just happens, it's hard to prepare for that. But again, it's always recommended to still make a plan for unforeseen circumstances. And I think one of those, something that people recommend is, you know, have a contact outside of your city or outside of your state. That way you can reach out to them and let them know you're okay. And if someone can't reach you, you know, they can talk to that other person and make sure you're doing okay. So if like family is trying to reach you and your power is out, maybe you were able to get a message out to someone else, and then they can let your family know that you're okay, relieve some of their anxiety. So that, I feel like, you know, again, that's all we can do from the outside if we're not going through it. But for those of us that have maybe been in a natural disaster, it's completely different, right? Like, I don't remember the earthquake that happened in 94. I was very young, but that's the Northridge earthquake that happened in LA. And I know it was very bad. Like, I've seen pictures during the CERT training. That's one of the examples that gets used very often as to the damage that it caused, because it was very significant. And so people prepare for something of that magnitude or worse. So, and I've been through earthquakes, right? They can be very scary. But again, I have, you know, food and water prepared in an emergency pack for, I think it's like 2 to 3 weeks. I have a whole bunch of gear to turn off gas, turn off water. You know, I've been through training, so I know what to do. And that can help relieve some of that anxiety. So if an earthquake happens, you know, my mind automatically jumps into, what do I do, right? If it's bad enough, you know, I need to go and turn off the water. to make sure to, you know, if some of the water lines broke, so we don't get dirty water in the house, we can keep the clean water that's already there still in the house. Maybe I go to turn off the gas, because if it's bad enough earthquake, gas line bursts, you don't want gas leaking. So all these things, because I've prepared for it, you know, I'm ready to do it. But something like the fire that happened a couple of years ago in Burbank and parts around here, you know, we don't usually, I mean, fires happen in California, but like, I feel like I live in an area where, bless you.
Thanks.
You weren't muted, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah. I thought you were trying to mute, but
I tried to mute, but I had to sneeze, so.
I saw it. I saw your fingers fiddling. But yeah, so like the fires. So that was very scary for me when the Burbank fires were going on. Because at the time, I was still living in Irvine. And so I'm driving down from Irvine. I'm on the 5 North. I get like right past Glendale where it's like it starts to turn into Burbank. And I see in front of me just fire, right? Like the mountains are all burnt. There's like a line of fire. And for a second, it was like an oh shit moment. Like, crap, is Burbank burning? Like, is all of it burning? Right? I obviously my fiance at the time lived there, now my now wife. I have other family that lives there, so it was like, you know, it can be scary at the moment. Right? But then you take a moment and you're like, all right, you start like driving there, maybe you start getting more information about it, you call the people, you're like, hey, how you guys doing? This and that. And you realize that, okay, you know, the mountains are burning. I didn't have any family up there. There were other people there, but they were evacuated, so it was safer. So I think just having the information, being prepared, are ways to mitigate any of that anxiety, to make sure that that, you know, you don't freak out, right? That you don't go into a state where you're not going to be able to handle whatever happens. Sorry, I talked a lot. I haven't talked in a while. I think I just had to let it all out. So Matt, you have the floor.
He only communicates with his wife and the rest of his family with grunts. You know, they're like, is this where we should put the curtain? He goes, a short light curtain, yes. Sun bad in morning.
I am Groot. That's all I've been saying. I've been communicating in
Groot language. He's like, I am Ash.
Everything that's happened, I am Groot. I am Groot.
That's funny. No, of course. I mean, I think that's a really good point. You know, something that you actually told me a while ago that I think is really helpful when you think about disaster preparedness is, you know, because of...
I am Groot?
No. How dare you say that?
I am Groot. Sorry, before you continue, I just remember this. Speaking of I am Groot, someone, I think I saw it online. I guess a teacher gave an assignment for some students to write about their favorite superhero. Mm-hmm. And this kid went and it was like a 2-page essay. And the whole 2-page essay just said, I am Groot. He got an A because it was very creative and it's freaking hilarious. But I think it's genius.
Yeah, I hate it when teachers will fail students for things like that because it's really creative and you should try and like foster that creativity in them, right? Maybe tell them, hey, this isn't the right place to kind of like do that, but hey, it's going to work this time. You can't have all your essays like this, you know?
Yeah, or go like, hey, like, you know, I'm going to give you an A as long as you turn in another paper that, you know, actually explains why he's your favorite. Like, this is very, very good and very creative. So you're getting an A anyway, but I still want
the
you to
the real
write
baller it. Move would have been when the teacher writes the grade, just put I am Groot. So they don't know what the actual grade is. Like, wait, is that good?
All right, sorry. Continue, Matt. What was the thing that I said that helped
you? You know, something you said a while back was always keep your gas tank full in your car. Yep. Right? And at first, I was kind of like, bro, I barely drive anywhere because I'm close to work anyways. So I fill up maybe once a month. Now with COVID, it's less. But it was interesting because you're like, yeah, in case we have to leave, I have my bags packed. Like I have a separate backpack with survival gear and I'm ready to go. And I was like, dang, like I have like, you know, food and things stored, you know, water or stuff like that, that I can take in the event of a disaster. But I have no idea how much gas is in my car. Like normally, right? I know it's full right now because I filled it up like 2 days ago. But, right. You know, I'm like, I'll just let it go down. Because with COVID, I'm like, if I really want to avoid people, I want to fill up as little as possible. Right? So it's kind of that catch-22 between, like, how do I avoid people for one disaster, but then if there's a different disaster, I have to be ready and prepared to go. So...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that comes from my dad. He used to always tell us to keep it full. It makes sense because when a disaster happens, everyone rushes to the gas station, right? Like if something bad happens. So the fact that you can have gas in your car and if you need to go somewhere, like imagine if, God forbid, something happened, let's say to you, right? And you needed me to get there. And I go and I jump in my car and I need to get there as soon as possible. And I jump in my car and I don't have gas. Well, shit, now I got to go to the gas station. It's going to take me another 10 minutes to fill up and then get on my way. And that delay of 10 minutes, hopefully it's not anything bad, but right, like it, maybe that delay of 10 minutes can make a difference in me getting there on time or whatever it may be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of why like fire trucks and ambulances are always full, right? For that reason. Now, you're of course not an emergency vehicle by its nature, but it may become that if you have to do that. So it could be something that gives you just a little bit more peace of mind. And you know, you could look up like survival kits, especially depending on the natural disasters where you're at. The issue with Texas right now is it's almost an unnatural natural disaster in the sense that sometimes they get flooding, sometimes they get like hurricanes based on where they are, like if you're more towards the coast. But this was kind of unplanned, right? They weren't expecting this. Otherwise, people would have had generators prepared and all this stuff, right? If they said, hey, this winter storm is going to come in and, you know, you guys are going to be, you guys are going to lose power. I'm sure they would have all gone out and bought generators. Now, of course, again, that creates that constraint on supply. Where if everybody has to get gas or everybody has to buy a generator or everybody has to buy toilet paper, like we saw with COVID, the system collapses because it's only meeting enough supply to match the amount of demand that they're forecasting for. Right. So if some company's only selling, you know, one, maybe two, three generators a day, and all of a sudden there's a request for 30 or 40, they haven't produced them because they don't want them to sell a lot, right? It's all this like forecasting and business. So it can be very, you know, nerve-wracking if you're in the middle of it thinking, how do I get help? Especially if your water goes out, your power goes out, and let's say, I'm assuming they probably still have cell service, but let's say your cell service goes out. Now you're really fucked, right? You got to throw a pigeon out the window. You got to call Hedwig. You got to do something to get the notice out to people that you need help. And how do you do that? Now, of course, you could like prepare with like a satellite phone, all this extra stuff. But a lot of that probably won't be necessary. You can take that precaution if you want. But it's within whatever your level of risk tolerance is. The same with any like anxiety related to anything, right? If you say, I have social anxiety, but I'm going to go to this party and I'm going to try my best to talk to two people, right? I'm going to say hi to the person who invited me and then I'm going to say hi to one other person in conversation. And if for whatever reason, you know, you start panicking and you start like, you know, feeling shortness of breath and chest pain and those types of things because you're hyperventilating and you leave or you go outside or you have to go home, that's completely fine, right? Because your risk is like, you already know I'm doing something that's a little bit uncomfortable. And I can pull out whenever I need to.
Right. No, I completely agree. I mean, there's people out there, right, that have whole bunkers set up to survive months and months. If there was nuclear warfare, right? I only have enough food and water to survive for about 3 weeks. If I need to hunker down at the house or go somewhere, so. Again, it just depends on how prepared you want to be and for what, and again, your risk tolerance. Like, for me, the most immediate threats or like the most likely threats are an earthquake or something of that sort. Usually within 2 to 3 weeks, people should be able to come and get help and things should start, you know, being available again. So that's what I'm really focused on. But you know, if maybe I live near a big military base that is a likely target for terrorists or something, then yeah, maybe I do have a bunker, right? Maybe I do have a way to get in there and survive for a little bit longer if I need to. Yeah, and something else to keep in mind is your emergency supplies, they have an expiration date. So you have to remember that. You have to check on it at least once a year. Make sure that, you know, if you have batteries in your flashlights, make sure that your flashlights still work. Make sure your batteries haven't gone bad. Make sure your food isn't expired. Your water isn't expired. Because even though you don't think about that stuff, because they're dry food or whatever they are, they still have an expiration date. And although they may be able to be used for a little bit past their expiration date, it's probably a good idea to replace them because you don't know when a natural disaster will occur.
Yeah, you also don't want to have anxiety about that, right? Like you find some spaghetti or something that like these dry goods that you've had for 10 years ago and it's like it expired 4 years back and you're like, well, should I eat this now? Like, I don't know. It's like, you know, you don't have to like be more stressed out in that moment to be like, oh my God, is this going to make me sick? It's like, yeah. Oh, you're already prepared.
I completely agree. But yeah, I mean, I think that's about it for natural disasters for me. Just stay prepared, you know, look up what natural disasters can happen in your area. There's a bunch of resources available at the federal level. There's a lot of websites. Costco was selling an emergency, like I think a 2-week emergency pack for 2 people or something, or 4 people at some point. I think about 2 weeks ago when I was there. You know, there's a bunch of stores. If you're in the Valley in LA, there's a store called SOS Survival Products. They have all kinds of survival stuff, including dried foods, dried water, survival backpacks. You can find them online. So, again, keep that in mind. Make sure you're prepared. Medicine is another good one. So, when COVID happened, well, I don't take medicine, right? But if you have medications, you can usually request your doctor to give you an extra one for emergencies, and you can store that extra one in your pack. And you know, it's recommended to switch it out, so you always have 2 of them, but you can, you know, always switch out the one in your emergency pack as you get a new one. That way, it doesn't expire. But something that I did during COVID, which I hadn't done before, is keeping an extra box of dog food. Because if you have a pet and an emergency happens, one, do you really want to give some of your food away to your pet? I'm sure a lot of pet owners will, but I'm sorry, honey, if an emergency occurs and that's all I have to survive, I'm probably going to keep my food to myself. But with that said, I do now keep an extra box of food for her, which will last her much longer than it'll last me. Right, so I think her food lasts us about 3 months. So she's going to survive longer than I am in that case because now I have an extra box of food.
Well, you could just eat the dog food.
And exactly, so that's what I was about to say. And if you could get some good quality dog food, it's edible, right? If you run out of food, you can definitely eat the dog food and survive. Now, I'm not saying do that and I'm not saying I've done it, but if there was a survival... you know, something happened and I needed to survive and that was the only food available, you bet I'm be eating that food. Be surviving 3 months with that food.
Funny story, real quick. My grandma, when she was older, my mom used to make her food all the time and then drop it off for her. And mm-hmm. My grandma had a cat. So she prepared a Tupperware container for food and then a little thing for the cat. And one time my grandma responded to my mom saying, "Oh, you know, that meat that you packed was really good." And my mom's like, "I didn't give you any meat. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're on, like, a restricted diet or something, right?" Whatever. Like, she made her, I don't know, like, bean burritos or something. And then she's like, "Yeah, like, that meat was really good." My mom's like, "What? What are you talking about?" She's like, "Yeah, in the smaller Tupperware container." My mom's like, "That was cat food." Like, what are you doing? But she said it was good. So, I mean, hey, you know, Friskies tuna, I mean, or whatever it was probably banging.
Yeah, I mean, it's edible, right? It's funny because my my in-laws used to make, well, like my mother-in-law used to cook meat for their dog all the time. And so it was always stew meat, right? And it was like really good quality stew meat that she would always boil for the dog. And we had a running joke saying that the dog would eat better than everyone else because he always got meat.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, you know, we would have salads and stuff too sometimes. My father-in-law was like, where's all the meat? Where's my meat? Only the dog gets meat. But
I mean, there's scales to everything, right? Like you can make your dog just fresh meat, organic, like food, right? Like I have a friend that does that. Like he only feeds his dog like legit food. Like he'll cook it for her and then, you know, feed her. As opposed to giving her just like the ground up dog food. Because it is better for them, but at the same time, it's like you have to do what's available within your means, right?
I don't know. I've done some research into it, and they say that human food isn't good for dogs, only because, like, if you make them only meat and stuff, because they don't get all the nutrients and stuff they need, whereas the dog food has, right, all of the vitamins and nutrients and minerals and everything that they need. If you're only giving them meat, it's not going to have all of that. They won't have a balanced diet, basically. And also, if they start relying too much on human food, they stop eating their dog food. So, like, my dog never gets human food. It's only strictly dog food.
Until I'm around, I'm going to start slipping her some bacon strips, baby.
No, you're not. You'll never come again.
Yeah, I'll have to hide it on your whenever you have your homecoming.
Oh, I'll know, dude. My dog.
She a rat?
She's loyal. She'll come and rat. Tell me. Anyways, thank you all for listening. It's good to be back. You'll hear my voice again this Thursday and hopefully every Monday and Thursday from now on, unless I get busy again and Matt has to do some solo sessions. But I probably won't get busy. I won't let you guys have to endure Matt's voice alone. You'll always have me to balance it out.
Well, the saving grace is I did a few Therapy Thursday episodes alone. I didn't do full episodes because a full episode, an hour and a half or an hour of me ranting would have been bad.
Wow. All right, everyone. Well, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.